Yes, good to be here. I want to say thank you to the church very much for your kindness, hospitality, taking very good care of us. Appreciate the meals, as well as that tote with all the yummy stuff in it. I had to beat my kids off with a stick last night. No, you can't have any of that. We're going to bed. No, it's been good. Well, if you take your Bibles, go ahead and go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Here we go. Very much, Brother Herzl. Appreciate that. I will tell you this. I like watching, how many of you here, you like watching missionaries' deputation videos. You can see different parts of the world, what people are going to do. And I do. I enjoy that. But I, even more than that, I enjoy watching furlough videos because you get to see what God has done. I'll show you, you've seen my video, I'm telling you what we're going to go do, but the video we watch here tonight, you get to see what God has already done. What a treat. What a treasure. I would rather, I have places I can go and watch furlough videos that others have made, and I just love watching those type of videos. The neat part about the one we saw here tonight was I was a member of Clark Fork Baptist Church 16 years ago. I was there when they came through on deputation. Our church took them on for support. Watching that tonight and seeing the faces of those people go across there, I thought, oh, it just touched my heart. I thought, I have fruit in heaven because I gave all kinds of different things, but nothing compares to the work of God. One thing that did occur to me while I was watching that video and seeing, like I said, faces of people. And I thought to myself, if you love what God loves, then you love people. God loves people, doesn't he? And you could see that, those people there, and how the willingness of these people to go, these missionaries, to go to the other part of the world there, and to see what God can do. Amen. That's neat. I'm encouraged, very encouraged by that. That was a tremendous treat. I loved watching that. So if you're there in Romans chapter 10, let's go ahead and start in verse 12. Very common passage of Scripture, but there's no problem with that. Amen. Romans chapter 10, verse 12, it says, "For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." Verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Preach, it says then in verse 14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Let's pray. Lord, I do thank you so much for saving my soul. And I thank you, you came and you sought me out. And I thank you for the people you used to lead me to you. And I thank you, Lord, for the church that you put me in. I thank you for the precious. One of those two categories, right? You're either Jew or you're a Greek. And so here he says there's no difference between them. You say, how is that possible? Because every last one of us, we're the same in distance from God. Sometimes we as people, what we want to do is we categorize sins. And I understand that. I get it because who would put lying, if you told a lie, in the same category as murder? We wouldn't do that naturally because we understand that the collateral damage is so much more evident when somebody kills someone rather than telling a lie. But here's the thing that most people don't calculate, and that is this, that whether you tell one lie or you kill one person, you are equally distant from a thrice holy God. Because the Bible says in Isaiah 59:2, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Meaning, God doesn't, it's one of two. You're either innocent or you're guilty. In the book of James, it says, if you've offended in one point, you're guilty of all. God has two buckets, guilty or innocent. And we're up in our home churches there in Bonner's Ferry, Idaho. We go door knocking. And I would do my best to witness to people and share the gospel with them. And I remember I talked to them and remember asking them this question at one point. I said to a lady, I said, according to man's laws, would you say that a person who commits murder, would you say that that person is a lawbreaker? And she said, yes, absolutely. I said, would you say that a person that goes 26 miles an hour in a 25 mile an hour speed limit zone, would you say that person's a lawbreaker? And she goes, well, she goes, you got to go 30 before they'll give you a ticket. I said, I didn't ask you when they're going to give you a ticket. I said, at what point are you breaking the law? She said, no, you got to go 30 before they'll give you a ticket. She wasn't, why was she so quick to throw the murderer into the guilty bucket? I say this because she's probably gone at least 26 through a 25 in her lifetime, right? The same thing is true. I asked a woman one time, I said, how many lies have you told in your lifetime? There's more than I can count. I said, what do you call somebody who tells more lies than they can count? She said, normal? I said, nope. Nope, not normal. A liar. And the thing that most people don't think about, Revelation 21, verse 8, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You see, if a person is guilty of one lie, they go to the same place as a person who is guilty of one murder. Sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are equal in distance from God. Doesn't matter. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not only are we equal in a distance, but we're equal in destiny, right? We all deserve to go to hell. That's where we deserve to go. If you're saved here tonight, praise God for that. But you still deserve to go to hell. That is what we deserve. The wages of sin is death. Every person on the face of the earth, every one of us, we all deserve to spend an eternity separate from God in a place called hell. That's what we deserve. But praise God, not only are we equal in distance, equal in destiny, we're equal in deliverance. God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to come to earth to die and suffer and bleed on that Roman cross, and I'm thankful for that. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so we're the same, and there's an invitation that is open. I'm so glad that God is, he's not a respecter of persons, and God is not one that says, well, you're too rich, or you're too poor, you're too skinny, you're not that skinny, right? And then you're bald, or whatever the case may be. You're old, you're too young. No, he says this, whosoever will may come. Anybody that will come by faith in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross some 2,000 years ago, that's what it takes. I'll save your soul. Because we can see in this text right here, Romans chapter 10, verse 12, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Amen. That's good. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it says in John 3:16, I quoted it, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And I'm thrilled that we have a whosoever will gospel. That's what we have. You go find somebody, if they've got a heartbeat in their chest and they can comprehend what you're telling them, they can get saved. Yeah. You say, well, I've met this person. They're too far gone. No, they're not, friend. Right. I love the story of the demoniac of Gadara. Have you witnessed to somebody cutting themselves with whatever and in the tombs and screaming and all that, and the police come to try to apprehend them, they break the chains? I've witnessed some interesting people, but never anyone like that. I say this, if you meet somebody, that was no challenge for Christ. Christ was able not only to save that man, but when that man came to get in the boat, he had a good desire. He wanted to get in that boat and be with Christ. But Lord gave him a gracious decline, said, no, I want you to go to your friends and family. I want you to go tell them how great things the Lord had done for you. And God took a maniac and made him into a missionary, amen? I got news for you. Christ is the only one that can take a drunk and turn him into a preacher. God is the only one. Christ is the only one that can do that. So when you go find someone out there, you say, not that person. Yes, that person. Yeah. Not only that, you go find the one that's never had a cavity or a library fine or anything else for that matter and give them the gospel too. Because absolutely every person needs to hear about Christ and how he paid the penalty for our sins. There's an invitation that is wide open, whosoever may be saved. Secondly, in our text, we can see that there's an investment opportunity. Look at verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Four questions, each starts with the word how. And it's very interesting. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? You see, that believing precedes calling. And I can explain that because if you think about it, why would a person ask Jesus Christ to save them
if they don't believe they need to be saved? Why would a person call on Christ to save them if they don't believe that there is a hell? Why would a person call on Christ and ask him to save them if they don't believe he can save them? It's kind of like if a person, I use this illustration with other people. I've said to him, I said, hey, if you're swimming out in the water and you start to get a cramp in your leg, it spreads up your back, and you can't, and you realize, I got to get out of the water, I'm going to drown. And you start, and as they try to swim to shore, they realize, I can't save myself. And right then they look up and there's a lifeguard standing on the shore. I said, what are you going to do? Every time without fail, they say, I'll cry out for help. Exactly. And I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. And that lifeguard is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can save. But you see, a person won't call out. They won't call on Christ if they don't believe. It's an outward manifestation of what's going on in here. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So they believing precedes calling. And then it says, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? This isn't rocket science. If a person never hears how to be saved, they won't be. If a person never hears how to be born again, they won't be. This is one tenet or one facet of this missions conference right here, is that let it sink in for just a moment. If your coworker never hears a clear presentation of the gospel, they'll burn in hell for all of eternity. They'll never have an opportunity. That's what I'm saying. And I know sometimes we can sit there and think, well, this is the United States. Friends, I'm from Idaho. I was born in southeastern Idaho. It wasn't until I was in my early 20s before I ever heard a clear presentation of the gospel. I was raised Catholic. I was raised in a community about 75% Mormon or LDS. Didn't hear a clear presentation of the gospel until the woman I married to, she's the one that led me to Christ. Met her, she just started witnessing to me. I'd never heard it before in my life. I was 22. Don't take for granted when you go pump your gas, the guy next to you on the other side or the woman next to you on the other side, that they've heard the gospel. This world, this country is not evangelized, not entirely. And I'd say this, you look at the community, and when the Lord Jesus Christ, he looked upon the multitudes, he was moved with compassion, right? Because he saw them as sheep having no shepherd. And when we see the multitudes with the plugs and the gauges and the tattoos and all the stuff, I'm not kidding you, it seems like it is on full throttle right now in our country. Our culture is full throttle in the wrong direction. Some of the stuff going on, and I'm sitting there going, are you kidding me? I'm not 75 saying back in my day. I'm still relatively young going, things have changed very quickly in our country. But the answer still is the same. It's Christ. You see, what we need to do is look upon the multitudes, and rather being moved with frustration, we need to be moved with compassion and say, the reason they are the way they are is because they don't have a shepherd. They're just acting like lost people. That's what they do. I got news for you. How many are glad somebody led you to Christ? Amen. Yes. And how many are glad somebody helped you get into a good church? Yes. And give you a good Bible, the Word of God. And then they have helped you to be shepherded and guided and directed. I know how to dress and talk and act. I'm a daddy and a husband, and I know how I'm supposed to behave because I have a shepherd, and he's a good shepherd. And what this world needs, they need to get saved, and they need a good shepherd, Jesus Christ. And we're the answer. Hearing precedes believing. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And God has chosen to use you and I to get that gospel message to these people. The next question, how shall they hear without a preacher? Amen. Preaching precedes hearing. This is the method by which God is using to reach people. And then it says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? Sending precedes preaching. Now, when you're thinking of global missions, this is a method by which God is using to reach people with the gospel. And the answer to this question is very simple. Reverse the sequence of the questions and you have the answer. Send preachers to preach Christ so that others may hear, believe, and call on the Lord and be saved. Amen? We had a great example of that here tonight, didn't we? We have a man, his family, and they were sent of God to go to another part of the world, and they went. They preached the gospel. People heard it. They believed it, and they were born again. Amen. Yes. That's wonderful. It's very good news. My pastor, who's in Bonner's Ferry, Idaho, he came out from East Tennessee. There was not a good Independent Baptist church up there. And he came out 14 years ago. God called him to come out here, and he planted a church, and praise God. Here we are now 14 years after the birth of that church, being sent out of that church. It's wonderful. This is the work of God. And so that's the answer. Now, the beautiful thing is, this is an opportunity for us to invest. Missionaries are not people going around the world begging for money. Missionaries are people going around the country letting people know, I am going to go do the will of God, and they're giving Christians an opportunity to get in on it. Right? The Apostle Paul said that he desired the church of Philippi, if I'm right, he said that they would have fruit that would abound to their account. And I'm thankful, based on that text of Scripture, I can say tonight, amen, we watched a video tonight. I got fruit that's going to abound to my account because I gave financially through my local New Testament church to support missions in the foreign field. Amen. Amen. Nothing gets me more excited than that. Because I got news for you. How many years ago it was? How many of you ever bought stuff before, and then here you are, maybe a decade or two later, and you can't even find it anymore. It's somewhere shoved in the garage. But wait, it was the neatest treasure at the time. How many lifetime warranties are the biggest joke, right? Because you buy the thing, lifetime warranty. They're going to last a lifetime. There's no way that's going to last a lifetime. I mean, it just falls apart. That's how things are. They rust, they rot, they're corrupt. That's just how things are. But when I lay up for myself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and thieves do not break through and steal, the investment I have made in missions in my lifetime will never be taken away from me. You can't get that kind of you can't get that promise from a financial institution this day. Give me your money, you'll never lose. You can't get that. But God has given us that type of a promise. And it's interesting, it's very important. This is another facet of this missions conference. Let us get stirred up about what God is stirred up about. God loves people. He wants people saved. He wants people to be born again. And then He wants local churches planted that continue to disciple people and teach them and train them. This is what God's busy about, and this is what we need to be very excited about. I'll be honest with you, it's sad to think that I'm one of them. I can get so caught up in the latest gadget or gizmo or thing or whatever it is. But then if you cause me to stop for just a moment, it's not going to last. It won't last. I got news for you. Technology today, they've got software updates coming out so fast, obsolete within a couple years. But yet we can get excited about that. We ought to be excited. We need to be pressing on and focused on what Jesus Christ is focused on. And so it's an opportunity for us to invest. I did see this quote on a missions wall while I was on deputation, and I love it. It says this, when Christians give and pray, then missionaries can go and preach. When Christians give and pray, then missionaries can go and preach. You see, it's a symbiotic relationship. God calls missionaries to go to the foreign field, and then as a result, churches, they support them, and they get involved, and then there's fruit that would abound to their account. And it's a treasure, it's a treat. And so we see that an invitation that's open, an investment opportunity. You get to get in on what God is doing. And then thirdly, we see here in this passage of Scripture an interesting observation. Look at verse 15 again. It says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I say, it's an interesting observation, because what does it notice here? Their feet. It doesn't notice, I mean, in giving the gospel, it doesn't talk about their mouth, doesn't talk about their hands. It talks about their feet. And then it says that they're beautiful. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't normally make that type of an observation of people's feet. I don't talk to my wife when we leave church and say, did you see so-and-so's feet? Man, they've got beautiful feet. I don't do that. Matter of fact, if I were to talk about feet in general, I wouldn't use the adjective beautiful anyway. That's just not how I would do things. See, the beautiful feet, you think about this, feet are a tool. Feet are a tool the Lord has given us. They carry us where we go. Some people, their feet carry them to the bar. Some people, their feet carry them to church. Feet help you to stand. Feet are a treasure. If you don't think so, let me ask you this. How much would you be willing to sell me your feet for? $100? $100,000? How about this? How many of you be like me? I'll just find a different way to get some money and I'll keep my feet. They're a treasure. Now, keep this in mind. You have this. These feet are called beautiful not because of how they look, but because of what they do. These feet are being used to carry the gospel to other people. And I say this, by God's grace, what I'm intending to do is let my feet carry me up and down little dirt roads in Mexico and give out the gospel to moms and dads and children. my children, my wife helping me do that. Let me ask you this question, and I understand your situation, but I'm going to ask you this question. How many of you here have feet? Yeah? Let me say this. You're qualified. You're here tonight, and you've got feet. You're qualified. Will you let God use your feet to take the gospel to someone else? Across the street? Across the town? Oftentimes we make excuses and we complicate things far too much. Right. And I'll be honest with you, this is an aspect of the Christian life. I believe it grows cool faster than just about anything else. Evangelism and witnessing and soul winning. I believe it does. I remember, and it's interesting how quickly our flesh can conjure up excuses for why we just can't quite get it done. Outside my comfort zone, I heard a person say this once. They said, well, evangelism isn't my spiritual gift. That's like saying, feeding starving children just isn't my gift. Somebody said once, they said, hey, it's just like one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. I know the answer to these people's problems. Why is it I would keep that to myself? I remember years ago, isn't it amazing how the Lord grows you? And he says to me, I want you to take, and I want, you know, just start giving out tracts. Well, about the time we're okay with that, then he says to me, I want you to give it to the person on the other side of the gas pump. Now, I don't know what it is, but my mind, or maybe the minds of other people, it's like there's this invisible barrier right there, right? I mean, you can say, morning, that's about it. That's all you say. But right there, there's this curtain between the two sides of that pump. You don't do that. You don't talk to the person on the other side of that pump. And I was terrified. Like, what am I going to do? And the Lord's going, you need to do that. Just say hi. Give him a track. Witness to him. Give him the gospel. That's terrifying. Sure enough, he stretches us, doesn't he? He puts us outside of our comfort zone. Hey, morning, you know, can I give you this? It's a gospel track. And then try to witness to the person. Because if that person never hears how to be saved, they won't be. The clerk at the grocery store, wherever it may be. And I've got news for you. Our flesh will make excuses so quickly for why I can't witness to that person. I remember going into a coffee shop one time, and the guy who made my coffee, he had tattoos all over everything. I mean, he had tattoos everywhere. And I, thank you for my coffee. And as I got ready to leave, the Spirit of God said, why don't you give him a track? He's scary? I don't know. I didn't want to give him a track. He might bite me. I don't know what he's going to do. And I went back in there, and I said, hey, I got out to the car. The Spirit of God said, why don't you give him a track? Go give him a track. Yes, sir, I'll do that. So I got a track, went back in there and said, hey, can I give this to you? It's a gospel track. And he said, sure. And he took it, started looking at it right away. Not what I expected. And news for you, that is a soul for whom Christ Jesus died. It is a person that he loves. He knows how many hairs are on his head. He knows everything about him. He wants him saved. It is your responsibility. It is my responsibility. We need to own this. It is our job to get the gospel to these lost people. That is our job. And I say this, here you can see here, it says that after that, to them that preach the gospel of peace. Do you know why this world doesn't have peace? They don't have Christ. That's why they don't have peace. You have families that are in absolute upheaval. You have our culture. Friends, if we don't see it now, oh my, our culture doesn't have peace because they don't have Christ. He is the answer for the problems in our culture. And then it says to bring glad tidings. Now, I love this. In Luke 2:9, it says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Angels, God used angels to proclaim the birth of Jesus Christ, and he has chosen to use you to proclaim his death, burial, and resurrection. He has chosen to use us to get it done. Now, I'll say this. In this text, we can see that we have an invitation that's open. Whosoever will may be saved. We have an investment opportunity. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And we have an interesting observation. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Whatever you can do. I believe this was when the Lord spoke. I believe it was Mary. He said, she hath done what she could. And no doubt when you have a church full of people, we have people that are in different places maturity-wise when it comes to their relationship with the Lord. And so no doubt you're going to have some people that will say, they're very timid in witnessing to people. And you have others that have been doing it for a little while longer. The challenge is just to stay busy at it and grow in that ability. And I remember early on the Lord challenging me, just leave one in the bathroom. Leave one on the break table. Leave one here. Stick one in the bill when you send it back to pay your bill. And that was challenging at that time. But as time went on, the Lord encouraged me. I remember hearing an illustration of a preacher. He said, in a particular church, there was a man, and this man, he couldn't read. Easy excuse. Can't read, can't go serve the Lord. Sorry. What this man would do is he'd take a pocket full of tracts and he'd go down to a very busy area in the town. And he would go up to a person and he would take the tract and he'd talk to somebody. He said, excuse me, I can't read. Can you help me? Will you read this to me? And they'd say, sure. You know, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he'd say, ooh, that's not good. And then he'd say, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And he'd go, ooh, that's really not good. And he would witness to people and lead them to Christ, even though he couldn't read. How many times we are so quick to make excuses? God can't use me. He can if you're willing, if you're available. I say this, the greatest ability that we have is availability. Let God do with you what he wants to do with you. Step outside your comfort zone and give someone the gospel. Amen. Pastor.